Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever or whenever you happen to be listening to us in this great wide world brought together by the internet. The last three guys to do a podcast are back. I'm John Morgo. We're coming to you live via tape by our secondary studio, which is basically my kitchen. And today, due to other circumstances, Daniel and Leon, they are with us. They are calling in. Daniel, I believe it was your mother's birthday today?
Yes, it's my mom's birthday. I'm actually doing the podcast from her house, so I am here in her bedroom and got the door closed. So
okay, well,
that's what we're doing. But it is her birthday. Happy birthday to my mother, my wonderful mother, Medina Bolton. She turned 59 today.
Okay, well, let's wish your mother. I'm sorry, Leon. Wish your mother a big happy birthday. And Leon is calling in as well. So, Leon, how are you?
Everything is good. You know, I had to get that holiday pay coming up, you know.
Oh, yeah. Know all about that. Nope.
Yeah, it's been a short work week, so I got to get all the overtime I can.
Exactly. The 4th of July is coming up fast and strong on Thursday, but I'll tell you what is also coming fast and strong, NBA free agency. And I tell you what, guys, they have wasted extremely little time in getting things going, as Kevin Durant, probably the big news that it just broke maybe about 3 hours ago. Well, originally he was going to try to pull a LeBron James and announce where he was going over a web stream, but gosh darn it, if the news didn't leak prior to that, he is going to be a member of the Brooklyn Nets. Leon, what is your take on that?
Well, I hope that Stephen A. Smith people are watching over him right now. I mean, my goodness. I mean, the New York, I mean, at least it's like a head scratcher. Like, if you're going to New York, why would you go to Brooklyn out of all places? I mean, well, you know, and then I'm looking at Brooklyn. And for them to not only get Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard, which is huge for the Brooklyn franchise, let me go off and say that's huge. Mm-hmm. But you have a young, aspiring talent in D'Angelo Russell who has a tremendous upside.
Mm-hmm.
And to go off and let him go in exchange for Kyrie Irving, was kind of like, it was a bit of a head scratcher. But at the same time, with Kevin Durant going to Brooklyn, I'm not really mad at Kevin Durant because of all the so-called medical mishandlings that happened during the finals. I can't say that I blame him.
Right.
It'll look real weird, especially in light of Andre Iguodala's Breakfast Club interview, which he later exposed that they actually weren't really truthful to him about his leg injury during the finals of 2016. It was they had him, in some words, to try to have him get right back out there on an injured leg. So, you know, it's an indictment on Golden State, who actually offered him $221 million, and he turned his back on it for $80 million left to go clearly across country. Says a lot.
Exactly, and you said that Brooklyn, not only do they sign Durant, they also sign Kyrie Irving, and the other player in that is DeAndre Jordan, also planning to sign with Brooklyn. And is this really a slap in the face for Jim Dolan?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Yes. But, you know, also just reported that Julius Randle's to the Knicks.
Okay. All right, we've got some other reports, Leon. Looks like Marcus Brogdon going to Indiana. Jimmy Harris goes to the 76ers in a $180 million deal. Bogdanovic goes to the Jazz. Rubio to Phoenix. Lillard is going to re-up with Portland. And J.J. Redick will go to New Orleans for a two-year deal. Again, all these are basically unconfirmed reports that we're getting in here, as this NBA free agency, it is about as wild as the draft was, maybe even more so. And it is just going to be a lot of time before the dust settles. And of course, Kemba Walker, as Daniel was telling me before we came on air, going to Boston, I believe.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, go ahead, Leon. To John's original point, so is this also an indictment of, like you said, James Dolan and the Knicks? I mean, it's because their organization It's just the reputation. I guess reputation is everything to a certain degree. But is their organization that raggedy to the point where, I mean, I would be very offended if I were a Laker fan and big name free agents like Kevin Durant and Kawhi and Kyrie Irving elected to go to the Clippers instead of the Lakers.
It's kind of the same thing.
It's like Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Nets, I guess in so many words, are they threatening to become the face of New York?
Well, Brooklyn's kind of been an afterthought ever since they moved to their new arena in Brooklyn. Kind of, they're more known for who owns them, for the Jay-Z connection, than they are for actually playing basketball. But now they're definitely going to make a play for that Big Apple market over there, trying to get people to go to the Barclays Center.
And it seems that, and then, you know, on a lighter note, it seems that Kemba Walker, it's pretty much like the Celtics made a trade with Charlotte.
Right.
Pretty much Kemba to the Celtics, Teddy Rozier to the Hornets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I guess now it's been reported that Tobias Harris has also re-upped with Philadelphia.
Right. Yeah, that was the report that we saw. That Tobias Harris is coming back.
Which I'm kind of like, as a Laker fan, I kind of don't know how to feel about that. Because a part of me, you know, it is so much going on. I feel like Steph Curry being interviewed after Game 5 during the finals. I have a lot of emotions. I'm going through a lot of different emotions right now.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, it's a very emotional Sunday.
Right, right.
We haven't seen a free agency like this in quite some time.
No, we haven't.
I mean, my goodness. Oh, I got a lot of different emotions right now. I'm just, you know.
We'll let you process all those emotions, Leon. In the meantime, I want to get Daniel's input on this, because we were kind of talking about this before you called in about how insane everything is. So, Daniel, looking at where we stand right now, with nothing else changing, are the Nets now the favorite in the East, or have they basically gotten over Toronto or Milwaukee?
No, they're not the favorite, not this upcoming season, because you have to remember, guys,
yeah, KD
Durant will not play this year. He's out for the year. With Kyrie and DeAndre, yeah, they'll be a formidable opponent in the East, but they won't be a threat to Toronto. They could be in the middle of things, seeing where Kawhi Leonard goes. See, Kawhi Leonard is going to be the main thing here. You really would have to look at the Philadelphia 76ers now, because they still have a bit of their core together. They just re-upped Tobias Harris, 5 years, $180 million. And we don't know where Jimmy Butler is going, but I would tend to believe that Butler will be out of Philly because of the max deal that they just offered Harris.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that they wouldn't. The Pacers got pretty good with Malcolm Brogdon. Of course, a lot of people would believe that if they had a somewhat healthy Brogdon, that they probably would have beaten the Toronto Raptors. And another thing we didn't mention about the Bucks, they re-upped Chris Middleton. He will rejoin the Bucks for $178 million. That's a huge deal, right? So it's still a lot to process, and it's still a lot to say, but the Eastern Conference, guys, I can tell you right now, it is going to be fun to watch, especially after what the Hawks did in the offseason, or in the draft, rather, picking up DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish. So now they have a young core that you would have to run with. Also, Leon, I thought you might want to hear this as well. The Pistons have signed Derrick Rose to a 2-year deal, so he's going to the Pistons. So it's just a whole bunch of things that's going on. I do want to talk about the Knicks. There was a report that came out via Ramona Shelbourne from ESPN saying that the Knicks and owner Tim Dolan were not prepared to offer Kevin Durant the max deal because they were concerned about his Achilles injury. So that's the reports that's coming out of New York. Now, okay. the question is, guys, are the Knicks nicking again? You know, are they really serious right now?
If I'm a bitch, go ahead, John.
Well, I was going to say, I think this report from the Knicks is just their way of trying to save face now that the Nets have picked up Durant. That's how I read this situation.
So now we have a couple of more free agents left. The one that I think really got to me was Kemba Walker. I don't think Kemba really wanted to leave Charlotte. Michael Jordan was just not prepared, just like Dolan was not prepared to give Kemba Walker a max deal to stay. And I think he tried to get him on a discount. But Kemba Walker is one of the premier point guards in the NBA. He deserves max money. And Boston knew Kyrie was leaving, so let's give it to a guy who really wants it and who wants to be here. Kemba Walker's case is almost like Anthony Davis's case. Anthony Davis was in New Orleans, which is not an NBA market. Okay, it's not a big time NBA market. Charlotte is not a big time NBA market. Those guys had to go to big time NBA markets to where we can really see them. And with AD in LA, with the Lakers out there with LeBron and Kemba Walker going to the Celtics, it still makes the Celtics a formidable opponent. Only thing with Boston is that they're going to miss that big man, because is Al Horford going to resign?
That's the question.
He turned down his option as well. So now he's out there in free agency. And I've heard some rumors going around saying that Golden State is looking at him, which is going to be crazy.
Yeah, Golden State needs someone to fill the hole. They need someone to fill the hole. Sir. They were going to need that anyway, because as you mentioned, KD is going to be out for next season anyway. Mm-hmm. So really, teams are just, at this point, people are just taking a flyer on him.
Another thing about Golden State, guys, is kudos to them and kudos to Klay Thompson. 5 years, $190 million. He's going to stay with Golden State. Listen, if there's anybody that meant so much to that team, that meant so much to this great run that Golden State has been on, it's been that guy. Mm-hmm. So that guy was the one who deserves that max money. I mean, let's just call a spade, man. He, when Durant was on that team, he may have been the second best player on that team, and now he may be the best player on that team because he can defend you and he can play on the offensive end. But he's got to get over that ACL injury. He'll be back mid-February. Golden State should be around, teetering in that fourth or fifth spot. I don't think they're going to be on the top. I'm really not sure who's going to be on the top of the West. But right now, what this free agency is telling me is that this whole NBA season from East to West is going to be wide open. There should not be any favorites here.
No, I was about to say I think Sam told us last week, Sam Crenshaw, when he joined us, you know, this mm-hmm. is the true soap opera. Things are getting nuts, and this is an NBA. This is going to be an NBA season that is going. This is going to be one for the books, because it's just going to be crazy. No one's going to know anything. There's every team's going to have a question mark. We don't know what LeBron's going to be coming back. We don't know how everything is going to impact itself. And I think James Dolan, he just keeps getting worse and worse. He's pretty much now the poster child for bad ownership in the NBA. And the thing of it is, when you talk about owners who and I'm going to use the NFL as an example here. When you talk about mm-hmm. owners like Al Davis, Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones, the hands-on owners who honestly think they know more than the people they're hiring to do the jobs. And I think Jerry Jones is a prime example of that. Well, no, Al Davis probably did know more.
Al Davis, yeah.
And Jones, I think, thinks he knows more. But Dolan, right. I don't get that sense that he – I mean, the guy is – he's meddling, he's hands-on, he's into everything. But I get the sense that he doesn't really know what he's doing. And he doesn't convey that. Usually the owners will say, yeah, I know this, I know that. Dolan doesn't. It's like he's just, I don't know, this is almost an ego thing for him.
Unfortunately, either he's going to have to get some therapy because there's two teams that are kind of going through this right now, and that's the Lakers and the Knicks. You know, arguably the two largest markets.
Exactly.
And the Lakers have this problem too. Don't get it mistaken. The Lakers do have this problem of just bad ownership ever since Dr. Jim Buss passed away. It's been bad ownership. It's been bad season. The only reason why we're not including G. Buss in conversation is because LeBron James is there, and because they just landed Anthony Davis. Because LeBron is there. Other than that, we would be talking about the Lakers in the same light. And we were for the past, and we would. I promise you we would. New York Knicks fans have not protested in front of Madison Square Garden. But Lakers fans did. They were protesting. It's gotten that ugly. So, when you're dealing with these micromanagers.
Right.
It just never works out right. Even in the lowest form of business, if you have a supervisor that's a micromanager, what's the point of you hiring an employee?
Well, you're talking about the Lakers, so of course, you can't hear it, Leon, but I've got the OJ's Backstabbers on in the background because we're talking about the Lakers.
Oh, yes, sir. But, Kawhi Leonard is interesting because, speaking about the Lakers and free agency, Kawhi Leonard requested to talk to Magic Johnson.
Right. Just saw that report, yes.
Yeah. So he's in talks with Magic because, Kawhi Leonard grown up in Riverside. And most people who are living in the Southern California area from Riverside, San Bernardino, San Diego, L.A. are all Lakers for the most part.
Right.
So I could see with Kawhi Leonard, possibly strongly considering the Lakers. That could be a big time reality, But what you're saying is in reference to this bad ownership issue, I kind of like when it comes to also with play style. I really, I like the fact that, Kemba Walker got his money, but I don't like, I just don't think it's going to be a good fit with the Celtics. Because, for those of us who've been watching the NBA for forever, when have we ever seen a shoot-first point guard actually meet with great success in the NBA playoffs? I'm talking about real success. I'm not talking about like first, second round. I'm talking about finals winning.
No, you're right.
I haven't seen it within the last 20 years. It has not happened within the last 20 years. It hasn't happened within the last 30 years. Matter of fact, let's go back to one of the greats, Oscar Robertson, who held the triple-double, who was the triple-double man before Russell Westbrook came along. This is for those of us who, ultimately, this is before my time.
Right.
Oscar Robertson had to learn how to play point guard when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar got there. They had to let Kareem Abdul-Jabbar be the man. That's when he finally got his first championship. But the style of play where you have the point guard is the focal point of the offense will win you some regular season games. It might put butts in the seats in the stadium or the arenas. But it will not get the ultimate prize, which is the NBA championship. Will not happen. We've seen it with Allen Iverson. He got to the finals in 2001, and he had a great legendary game one, but that series has ended in a backdoor sweep. We've seen, I think we like what Steph Curry's doing, but when Steph Curry's the focal point of the offense, he has a tendency not to show up in the finals.
Right.
We see the chaos that's going on in Houston, where Chris Paul is seemingly dissatisfied because of the useless race of James Harden, and I guess with Mike Anthony lacking the testicular fortitude to tell him to change his game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about putting Jimmy Butler, inserting Jimmy Butler in that offense. It's not going to work. And like when I look at the Lakers and free agency, I'm hoping that the Lakers are hearing this. I just don't like D'Angelo Russell or any two first point guard in that offense making Anthony Davis simply a third option. That's not going to work. So with the, it's like a micromanaging owner and a micromanaging point guard. So, you know, it's like a quarterback that doesn't use the wide receivers, he'll rather run. It's exciting, but you gotta, you know, if you want long success, you gotta learn how to play in that pocket.
Right. Those are all good points there, Leon, especially. And what my question now is, well, I got two of them. One is, does Spike Lee put together his fortune and say, you know what, I'm going to buy the Knicks?
he probably should.
Exactly.
And make things better for them, because he seems like he can be the one that can make better decisions than James Dolan is doing the last 10 years.
Right.
I mean, this guy just made some crappy decisions, man. I mean, you sit up here and tell me you're not prepared. So you weren't out here in the market, you know, to get Durant and to get Kyrie. You knew they were going to be a package. We all knew that. Mm-hmm. And then there was a report saying that it was Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant talking. It was just a big soap opera, man. But Dolan lost this offseason. Yeah, he got Julius Randle, but now what you're doing is you're making Julius Randle the focal point of that team. Is Julius Randle really ready to take over that kind of responsibility? Yeah, he was probably set up to be that way when he came out of Kentucky, because he was set up to be that phenomenon kind of like player or whatever. He was drafted high when he was drafted by the Lakers. But right now, I haven't seen anything that could tell me. I mean, he's a good player. He's a pretty good player, you know. But I haven't seen anything that would make me say, oh, man, he's going to get ready to take over this team. Because right now he's going to be the focal point of this team. DeAndre Jordan is not there anymore. DeAndre went across boroughs or whatever. Yeah, he went across the street to Brooklyn. So, you know, and that's where I am with that. Leon, I want to touch on your arguments about Boston and L.A., and I will tell you that I kind of disagree with both of them. They were great points, but I disagree with them. Kemba Walker, I think that with Brad Stevens, I think that he, number one, went to Boston because maybe he did get tired of being at 30 points per game. So who else was going to get him those points in Charlotte? And he had to work harder, a lot more harder in Charlotte than he probably would have in Boston. He's got the wing players. If Gordon Hayward could ever get healthy and get his mind right, he will be all right. They do need a big. I do agree with that. If Kemba Walker is going to flourish in Boston, he needs a big. And, I mean, he needs a legitimate big. I'm not really sure who's out there, but he needs a legitimate big to get him where he needs to be, to where he can probably maybe get down to being a 22-10 guy like you want. Like, he really should be in order for Boston to win. But I think in Brad Stevens' system, I think he is going to – he's going to absolutely flourish in that system. With D'Angelo Russell, I don't think he's going to be – I don't think he will – it would knock Anthony Davis down to a third tier. With such a spectacular force like Anthony Davis is, it's kind of hard to knock him down. In fact, Anthony Davis might be number one, because LeBron is 34, 35 years old. He's going into the twilight of his career. And he's going to grab D'Angelo and say, hey, listen, you got a big. You get it down to the big when you can, if you can find him. You have to get it down there. But, of course, you also need the coaching, too. So that also means it's Frank Vogel who actually did. It's Frank Vogel that's over there, right?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Frank Vogel, of course, he had the Pacers the year they were challenging the Miami Heat. He had Roy Hibbert. Now, I'm not saying Roy Hibbert is Anthony Davis. But Roy Hibbert was an all-star. So he had that or whatever. He's got the big. And I think that it's so important for D'Angelo Russell to understand that, listen, you don't have to be what you were in Brooklyn, just like with Kemba Walker. They don't have to be what they were in the teams before. If you're comfortable with being who you are, and that system allows you to be comfortable with who you are, then I don't see a problem with it. I think D'Angelo Russell would be fine, and that's another thing too. He's got the size that you would need for a point guard. He would be very tough to stop, especially on the block when you want to get him down in the post. I think he would be real tough to stop for these smaller guys out here, and he can make his own play. So, you know, I think Russell will be a good look. I've always said it. Do I think he'll be an all-star caliber? No, but I think he could get the Lakers back to prominence. Listen, the Lakers have two of the five best players in the world. So they could really seriously challenge and make a run for the Western Conference next year, especially with Golden State. We don't know where Golden State will be at. Houston look like they're about to make a huge mistake because they're going to get rid of Capella and Tucker and Eric Gordon. They're going to get rid of some very viable pieces on their Houston squad. So we don't know where they're going to be when you bring Jimmy Butler in. I'd agree with you on that one, Leon. And just the rest of the West, you really don't know. With Utah losing Ricky Rubio, he's going to Phoenix. But they did pick up somebody. They picked up somebody big. I can't remember who it was. There's just so much going on.
They got Michael Conley Jr.
That's who they got. Mike Conley in the trade. That's right. Yeah. So now you got Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell, probably one of the best backcourts in the Western Conference. Now, maybe top five.
They also got Bogdanovich.
And they got Bogdanovich. Yeah. So now you have a formidable Utah squad that nobody's talking about. And the Clippers haven't done anything yet. But really, the Clippers don't really need to do anything. I mean, if they get Kawhi Leonard, I think they're good.
I think that's what they're waiting on. I think they're waiting on Kawhi
Leonard.
Yeah,
I think that's what they're waiting on. And I think that and signs are pointing that he goes to the Lakers. I've been hearing a lot of sources saying that he's interested in L.A. But I don't think Kawhi's going to make his decision until about a week from now. So, you know, we'll see how this goes, man. Bradley Beal is still out there. Just a lot of guys that are still out there that's going to make this thing interesting.
Looks like I hope I pronounce this right, from Nerlens Noel is going to stay with Oklahoma City. So that's another thing that just came in. Again, Adrian Wojnarowski, again, with another scoop. This and draft day is the day that he shines. And like I was telling Daniel before we started taping, Kevin Durant wanted to do almost like a Facebook Live show announcing where he was going, but Woj scooped him and put it out there. Like, he has scooped everybody. He has taken absolutely all of the the anticipation out of this, scooping everybody. So I think what needs to happen is he needs to be separated from his Twitter the day of the draft and the day of the free agency started. Lock him in a room. Don't let him out for 24 hours so that these players and teams can't control the narrative. And that's really all that is when Kevin Durant says, hey, I'm going to announce it on Facebook. He's trying to control the narrative. But as of right now, the narrative – and that's just what social media does nowadays. It just spins completely out of control, and that's where we get this absolute insanity that's coming through. And if you're a broadcaster, if you are someone who watches it, who likes watching basketball, who kind of has a kind of not really – we say we have a say in it, but, you know, do we affect things? No, we don't. But we like it's fun for us, and maybe it drives the people who want to control the narrative a little nuts because they're not really in control of things. But again, give Woj a lot of credit for what he's been doing, taking that control out of the team's hands, out of the players' hands, and putting it basically in our hands. And we're just watching all the nuttiness and basically teams building themselves up, teams immolating. Because, guys, one team goes up the – just because it's basically Newton's third law implies if that's the equal and opposite reaction, somebody goes up, somebody's got to come down. So you got to look at the Bulls. They haven't been active. Detroit, Orlando, even Miami to some extent, they have not been active. Is it fair to say that the fortunes of those four teams are going to come down as a result of what we've seen today?
So Detroit, you know, with the addition of, Derrick Rose.
Okay.
You know, that's kind of like, I guess it's a feel-good story. Derrick Rose actually getting a second chance, a second leap at age 30.
Right.
To quarterback another team, you know, with Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin. So, you know, but I mean, Miami, Miami hasn't, you know, I guess with the retiring of Dwayne Wade, I mean, what's really attractive about Miami? That's like taking a vacation to Cleveland, right? I mean, it's kind of weird.
But with better weather.
Right. Right. You know, right now, if you're a free agent, and, you know, because these free agents right now, especially net contract players, you know, they got the money. They're looking at legacy. And right now, Miami, to me, says seven seed in the East. It's that. You know, it's just Miami. And then, you know, who was the other one? You got Detroit. What's the other team?
Chicago, Orlando.
An interesting spot. You know, those, you know, I guess they're going to build young. Orlando is going to have to, it's going to continue to have to build young. Chicago, I forgot they had a basketball team. You know, but, yeah, they're going to build young. They will be the whipping boys of the East for quite some time. It's like Chicago, it's kind of like, you know, you forgot another team, Sacramento.
Well, okay, well, yeah, I had gotten to the West, so, you know.
Third tier teams. Unfortunately, you know, they were left out. You know, there's nothing exciting about them. I mean, if anything, that's like the same thing. They're like the only difference between Orlando and the Knicks. And the fact is, the Knicks is actually a little more embarrassing than the Knicks because you're in the nation's largest city.
Right.
Being such a dumpster fire. I mean, at least with Orlando, they can kind of hide in the background. You know, Orlando.
Yeah.
That's my views on that.
And turning it over to the West, there's really, I'm thinking San Antonio has, no, San Antonio did make a move. I did see that. I just can't remember what it was off the top of my head. Saw the thing with Oklahoma. Well, Minnesota, we haven't heard anything about Minnesota. You mentioned Sacramento, Denver. We thought they may be one player away. They didn't make any moves today. Trying to list off the teams off my head, and I'm probably forgetting one or two. Oh, Dallas. Dallas is with the retirement of Dirk Nowitzki, who's probably been there forever. You know, we haven't heard. Mm-hmm. Dallas hasn't done anything. And I think that's everybody. I think we've hit everybody with those teams. So now my question is, when do we think that the complete dust will be settled? Do we expect Kawhi Leonard to make his choice tomorrow, Monday, or let's put it this way. Do we expect Kawhi Leonard to make his choice before the Summer League games?
I'm going to go with Daniel's assumption on that one.
Okay. Yeah, it's a week. Like Leon said, it's going to be a week because he's going to see what. What a lot of people don't know is that he's going to give Toronto the last say-so. So Toronto's going to have the very last bid on him. He's going to go see L.A. He's going to go to the Clippers, and he may still visit the Knicks, even though the Knicks don't look as attractive now with KD signing with Brooklyn. So he may go, and he's going to go, and he's going to take this into serious consideration.
It doesn't seem like he's in any hurry.
No, he's not, and he shouldn't be.
No,
he's a two-time Finals MVP. He's a two-time NBA champion. He single-handedly made the Toronto Raptors the thing in Canada, not just in Ontario, but in Canada,
right,
in the entire country. So he has made that thing go just bananas for him, mm-hmm. which is one of the advantages that he has in re-signing with Toronto. Now, the advantage that he has with L.A., with the Clippers, that's a good core out there. It's probably maybe around the same core as what he had when he signed with the Raptors. He's got a good team out there mm-hmm. If he goes to the Lakers, y'all might as well go on and give the Lakers the title. If he goes to the Lakers because it doesn't matter who he puts around him, he's going to make them better.
Right.
And he's got Anthony Davis, and he's got LeBron James, and possibly D'Angelo Russell. You might as well go on and make the Lakers the NBA champions there. Because there's no way. Because, and it's not solely because of the fact that Anthony Davis is there. Yeah, that's got a lot to do with it. But Kawhi Leonard has proven that he is a determined champion. He is a champion, man, and he does it the right way. The way he left San Antonio, a lot of people want to say, man, you know, a lot of people want to discredit that, and, you know, he did the right thing. He did right thing with that. So, you know, he had to take care of himself. He had to listen to other people around him that he trusts, you know. And he said it was no hard feelings. It was no ill will. I just had to do what was right for me. And he did. And this guy can do, this guy can take as much. Hell, he can go up until to the end of August if he wants to. You know, he can keep all of us on the edge of our seats, but I don't think he will. I think next Monday you'll probably hear something coming down, and the earliest you might hear something coming down is Saturday. But he's going to give this some time.
Right, and also the 4th of July holidays coming up as well.
Right.
That's going to probably push things further into the background.
Exactly.
So,
it's going to be good.
Yeah, it's actually going to be very interesting. And, again, we've got summer league games. Those will start up right after the 4th of July, I think in 1 week. That's probably the next stage in this crazy off season. Everyone goes down checking out the rookie teams, seeing how they will form, seeing how people will play in those games. And, guys, is this just the rookie the summer league games? These are just – we're just going to see the rookies and the G League people, right? I mean, we're not going to see any. And will the teams take a chance by playing their high-quality rookies? I think we might have asked the answer this a little last week, but let's go into it a little bit of detail. Are we going to see, say, Zion? He's going to. How many games is Zion going to play?
I give him 2 quarters. They'll insert. He's going to get some burn in the rookie. He's going to get some burn in the off.
Right.
During summer league. He's going to get a little burn. He's going to have to. I'm more concerned with how Bola Bowl is going to perform during the summer league.
Well, he's got lot to prove. He's got a lot to prove.
Yes.
And
yes.
The big thing about Bola Bowl is that, you know, where is his mind at? That it was his work, according to the reports we read, it was his work ethic that caused him to free fall. So he's got a lot to prove. He's got to come out hard. He's got to come out in shape. He's got to come out like he means it. He can't afford to take any time, any plays off. And going to Denver might actually be good for him, considering what Denver did. Now there's, you know, if Denver can stay the way they are, if they can still be a good team, there won't be as much pressure on him. Because look at what the Hawks did with Trae Young last year. Sure, Trae did indeed play very well, rookie of the year and all that. But the thing about Trae Young is he was expected to turn around this team immediately. And if he has one bad game, all the naysayers came out on Twitter and saying, oh, we should never have done this. We should never have da 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 da. And, you know, you just want to tell these people basically chill. I think Bola Bola, even though I don't think the team is going to put him under pressure. I think all the pressure is on him, you know, regardless. But
right.
With Denver, the way Denver is set up, Denver's not going to put the pressure on him, if that makes any sense. And Bola's going to have to try and just tune out everything. But again, he's going to have to prove to everyone that he means what he wants to be, that he is serious about this. And
I like him. 7'2". He can play. This man is 7'2" and can play the wing. That is disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very skilled, very, very talented young man. Reminds you a lot of his late father, Manute Bol. Manute Bol, 7'7", and actually developed a 3-point shot towards the end of his career. You know, Manute was a pretty good player. He was a pretty good player, and his length was very disruptive, and he's small like his father was too. So that's the big thing about him. You know what, guys? The summer league games. Yeah, I agree, Leon. I would, you know, my top picks, you know, your RJs, your Zions, your John Morant, yeah, they're going to be out there mainly for showcase and this would be the group, this would be the draft class where you can actually kind of make the summer league relevant, because
the summer league is about like preseason in football and spring training in baseball. Why do we have it? And why is it? And why does it go for so long? You know, like it's one of those things. You know what I'm saying? And my thing is that okay, Zion Williamson, you don't want, especially after Zion Williamson hurt his knee last year, and he missed all those games. Mm-hmm. He missed about 9 or 10 games for Duke, so they didn't want that again, right?
Well, you don't want just that make sure happen. He doesn't have Nike shoes then.
Yeah. You know, exactly. Exactly. So I mean, you know. You see that, and that raises a red flag. The Pelicans, I'm pretty sure, are going to say, hey, listen, we just want to take a small look at this guy. We know that he's going to play against a lot of these G League players, and that's what we're going to see. We're going to see G League players. You're not going to see Chris Paul and James Harden.
Oh, of course not.
And Anthony Davis.
No,
in the G
League, we don't expect that.
Yeah, you're not going to expect that. But, you know, that's why you don't want to play them, because you're waiting to see what they're going to be like in the league itself. Let me tell you something. When the NBA schedule comes out and you look at those marquee games, the Knicks and remember RJ Barrett went to the Knicks. So let's not forget that either. So he and Randall will be a formidable fit together. That'll be a pretty decent look for them. But when you look at the schedule, you're going to point at the Pelicans and the Knicks, RJ Barrett versus Zion Williamson.
Yeah, whoever thought that the Knicks and Pelicans would be a national game?
Don't be surprised if that's a Christmas Day game.
Oh, I wouldn't be shocked at all. I would be
Do
shocked at all.
Don't be surprised if that's on Christmas Day, and that's the first game, and it'll be in New York City.
Yeah.
It'll be in Madison Square Garden. Do not be surprised.
Because the league always finds a way to put the Knicks on Christmas Day. Even though the Knicks absolutely do not deserve to be on Christmas Day, they still find a way to do that simply because they're the Knicks.
Exactly, and you're going to point at games like even the the Pelicans are going to be going to have a lot of national exposure.
They'll be on with the Lakers.
They'll be on with the Lakers. Yeah, exactly. You're going to see a lot of these like former players, former teams. Like, and no, it's not going to mean anything. But in 2 years, when Kevin Durant finally goes back to Golden State. Like, that's going to be an intriguing matchup, you know, but that's when he comes back in the 2021 season.
Right.
So, you know, that's going to be That'll be a Christmas Day game at that time, because then we'll start looking at Brooklyn as a formidable favorite to win the East. And maybe Golden State will be back, depending on what else do they do in the next couple of years or so. It's going to be interesting to see. But going back to the original question, I don't think I would play my top picks, you know, like that. I would play them just to get them a run.
Right.
You know, but I wouldn't take the summer league thing serious. I really wouldn't.
I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit off topic, but, you know, question nonetheless. Pretty sure I'm not going to make it. What will become of DeMarcus Cousins next year?
That is a great question, and you know what, I was thinking about him as we were conversing and as we were talking about this whole free agency frenzy. Man, the market is pretty much open for DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, he could pretty much go anywhere. The question, Leon, is what is his value now? Because his value may have went down. This guy made about $18 million, man. But his value may have went down to maybe 7 or 8 a year.
Oh man! I mean, I know he was hurt and everything like that, but it's two things that concern me during those NBA finals.
Mm-hmm.
One was he was not a difference maker.
Yeah.
And two, he just looked flat out clumsy out there.
He shouldn't be handling the ball like he is. Point guard like you think he is, man. He needs to be down in the block. He needs to have his back against the rim and making a move. So, you know, that's the crazy part about that.
He has to average 20-12 or 20-10 next year. The jewelry's going to be out on this man's career next year. What is he going to become?
Yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
Go ahead, bro.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the crazy part about that, right? You know, it's so funny. What is his career going to be like? I couldn't really give you five teams that I think that he could go to. The first team that kind of comes to my mind, because I did say Kemba Walker needed a center out in Boston, it would be Boston, because he's kind of like that Al Horford type player. He can play inside and outside. But the question is he fully healthy from that Achilles injury? Is he mentally healthy? Because we don't talk about the mental aspect of an injury, right? That's so important to what people have to remember. Are you able to block out the fact that and block out the memory of when you tore it?
Right.
And say, okay, I'm ready to move on. You know, that's what we have to look at.
And the fact
we have two extremes. We have two extremes. Your example, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I made a cut you off.
No, go ahead.
We have the mental blocking out of Paul George, who suffered one of the most gruesome leg injuries known to man.
Absolutely.
Coming back to be an MVP candidate as well, Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
Yes.
And looking as if he didn't lose a step, if not got better, like his progression is still, he's still progressing. He's in his prime right now.
Right.
Or you have Gordon Hayward, who suffered a very gruesome injury.
Probably worse than George's was. Yeah.
And he really didn't look like himself last year. So I'm actually with that to the system he was playing in, but he just didn't look like himself. This is just a feeling your point right here. So yeah. You know, can DeMarcus Cousins, you know, can he come on back? I'm after being 25-12 like he used to be in Sacramento. Will we see Sacramento do? DeMarcus Cousins, or is he going to, or is his career in spiraling downward mode now?
Speaking of Jimmy Butler, I'm just seeing a report that Jimmy Butler has committed to a deal with Miami. Granted, they find a trade package for Philadelphia. And they saying that the Heat and Sixers are working on possible sign and trade packages with quite a few options available. That is, again, a report. And another thing we have to realize here, guys, when we're talking about all these free agency moves is really it's very difficult to separate the fact from the fiction. These are all just reports. We have to wait until the ink has been dry. The bottom line has been signed. The I's have been dotted. The T's have been crossed. Just like I think Kevin Durant should probably say, well, you know, guys, I was planning to go to Brooklyn, but since Wolves broke the news, I ain't going to Brooklyn. I'm going to go to Cleveland or something like that. I think that would be hilarious.
That would be so petty.
That would be petty, but it would be funny as heck. That would be funny.
Just take it for what it is, man. You know what? That's interesting, though, because Miami did become like the last team that's just come out of nowhere and say something about Jimmy Butler. I also heard a report. I don't know how true this one is, that this could persuade Dwayne Wade to come back for another season.
Oh, I don't think that's going to happen. That's not going to happen.
I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't think Gabrielle Union would allow
that. I was just about to say that. You've got Gabrielle Union to come home to. You are staying with Gabrielle Union.
And you got a little girl at home. And ain't no telling what that little girl is doing to Gabby right now. So
You are staying with Gabrielle Union. You are hanging out at the TV show she's doing with Jessica Alba. You are going to that set every day. That is where you go.
Exactly. Exactly.
At the same time, though, you're Dwayne Wade. He did retire, but, you know, I mean, they had pretty, you know, they got a point guard in Miami. I mean, you know.
Dwayne Wade, I'll tell you what, man, about Dwayne Wade. Listen, man. Dwayne Wade is like a 12-time All-Star, okay?
The guy Finals has nothing left to prove.
He has nothing to prove. He may be first ballot Hall of Famer. He is one of the top two or three shooting guards in NBA history. Ever. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Ever. And we're easily top three. Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson, Dwayne Wade. And you can switch Iverson and Wade out if you want. But those guys, and I would possibly put Wade at two because Wade did get a championship out of it, and Wade was the architect of his very first championship in 2006, even though Shaq was there. he brought, but he, and he helped elevate LeBron's game, and he helped elevate LeBron into what he is now. So I would put Wade as number two, right up underneath Jordan, and then you have Allen Iverson. But he has nothing else to prove. Listen, just like LeBron. I mean, really, LeBron is just playing, to me, in my opinion, when I look at LeBron James.
I think he's playing for stats.
For two reasons. Yeah.
He's playing for numbers.
He's playing for stats. He's playing because he loved the game, and he's playing, you know, just to see where this Hollywood thing goes.
Yeah,
you know,
because he's got to do something else. He's got to have something else to do in between meetings. It's really what he's doing.
He's smart though.
Yeah,
he's extremely smart, man. Yeah, yeah. He's looking to become a billionaire. He said it on his barbershop talk show, whatever it's called. He said it on there. He's looking to become a billionaire. He's not looking to be a coach. He's looking to own the team.
Right. Maybe he can own the Knicks.
Yeah, and if he does, go ahead, Leon.
I was saying you had number two shooting guard behind Jordan. You know what I'm saying? You forgot about that man. You talking about that man, Kobe? Way better than Kobe.
you know what? That could be a bit of an argument, though. I will say this. Yeah, because you know what? I'm sorry, Kobe is. Kobe's top three, but I'm not taking Dwayne Wade out of there. I'm not taking Dwayne Wade out of the top three conversation. Iverson may have to slide down.
Right.
But yeah, Kobe Bean Bryant, can't forget about him, right? Kobe Bean Bryant might be top five player of all time. Or top 10, maybe. Yeah. So, Kobe's going to Kobe. You know, that's Kobe. Sorry, Kobe.
As a Laker fan, I just had to, you know.
Oh, no. With all due respect, yeah.
I like Dwayne Wade.
Kobe wasn't a stat.
And I like Dwayne Wade. It takes nothing.
Right. You know, probably why is because maybe I sometimes look at Kobe as a three. Sometimes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But even though I know he played the two, he played like he was a three. And a four, because he was just such an assassin like that, man. Kobe had that killer instinct. And every time that man stepped on the court, it doesn't matter what kind of night you were having on the defensive end, he was going to have that night a little bit better than you. His eyes was going to light up a little bit redder than yours. His step was going to be just an inch faster than yours. So it didn't really matter. He had that killer instinct. A lot of guys didn't have that killer instinct when Kobe Bryant was playing. Or in the league, rather. Like, we used to see it back in the 80s, like with Magic's Lakers and the Pistons and the Celtics. Those guys had killer instincts. The Bulls dynasty, Michael had that killer instinct. Kobe was really like the very last player that you say, man, this guy's an assassin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every night he was going to come and give it to you, regardless on what it was. But that's because of his love of the game for basketball. It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the fame or anything about that. He loved basketball. And that's what it is. So kudos to Kobe Bryant, man. I'm sorry. And people can get on me all day if they want to about that. But there you go. I think I just made it up for y'all.
Yeah, I think so. There's always going to be players. And in the heat of the moment, there's always going to be players that you're going to forget. And especially, we don't want to give short shrift to the players, what they call us players back in the day, in terms of guard play.
Exactly.
Like I think Bob Cousy, I think Bob Cousy was one of the best guards of all time. And you look at forwards, you know, you got John Havlicek, Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain, although those were technically centers. That was when centers were actually meant something. And then you go Kareem, you got Magic, Larry. You know, all those great players from that kind of thing. And I guess Larry was more of a forward/guard anyway. But he played like, played like a guard. All right, so we are getting close to the end of this podcast. 1 hour edition of The Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast. I'm John Morgan with Leon Bolton, with Leon Brown and Daniel Bolton. And before we go, it's going to be 60 seconds, things you might have missed. I'm going to hit a bunch of topics rapid fire. I got three topics I wanted to talk about. Again, this will be rapid fire, so here we go. Don't know if you saw this, guys, but the Major League Baseball just went to London. New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox played two games. They reconfigured Wembley Stadium into a baseball diamond. The problem is the pitching stayed home. It was 17-13 on yesterday, a game that took 5 hours to play, the longest game between Boston and New York ever. And then today they didn't outdo themselves, but it was still 12-8 Yankees in that ball game. So I don't know if it was the murky, musty air at Wembley in London that caused this, but again, the pitching stayed home. And if you're a Londoner, who do you root for? I mean, the New York is called the Yankees, and Boston is where the American Revolution started. So if I'm those guys, yeah. I'm like, I don't know. I want to boo both of them. So that was interesting in that way. Also, the Toronto Raptors, a little bit of a kerfuffle as the Raptors were trying to figure out, you know, would they go to the White House, accept the White House invitation? Guys, you're Canadian. You're not going to the White House. You're going to go see Justin Trudeau. Go see Justin Trudeau. Take that totally off of the equation. So we're going to absolutely completely miss the point on whether or not the Raptors should go visit the White House. They're Canadian. They shouldn't go anyway. Go visit Justin Trudeau. It'll make you all feel a little better, and at least that way you won't get to pig out on Big Macs and Wendy's hamburgers or whatever fast food they decide to bring in. And finally, U.S. women's soccer team is continuing their run through the U.S. World Cup. They just beat France on Thursday, I believe, 2-0. Megan Rapinoe with two goals, and she scored the two goals against Spain in their other knockout game. The U.S. women going to take on England on Tuesday, July 2nd, which surprisingly enough, John Adams once suggested that be actually America's Independence Day, not the 4th, as it came down later. Again, this is the same women's soccer team that won their first round match over Thailand 13-0. And yep. The first week of the college football season, we're going to point out every team that the U.S. women's soccer team outscored. Is what we're going to do during that first week of college football games. So if your team gets outscored by the U.S. women's soccer team in one match, we're going to point that out. And unfortunately, I'm going to say this, we don't usually go much into politics, but this is too funny not to mention. Megan Rapinoe again made comments that were against President Trump. President Trump immediately tweeted off a reply. The problem is he tweeted off a reply to the wrong Megan Rapinoe. He retweeted to a college senior in Iowa who got a ton of followers based on that. So that actually happened, not making that up. Okay, let's go. Leon, you're next.
Well, I like to go off and say validated and verified and dilapidated and petrified.
Uh-oh.
I would say validated and verified will go to Kevin Durant. I would say, personally speaking, you know, validated because he's not that much of a sucker after all. You know, I feel him going to the team that went off and beat him the year before, came back from 3-1, and then going to that team and just shutting the NBA down for 2 years was the biggest sucker move of all because I felt they didn't need him. At the same time, I kind of feel they did need him because without him, I don't think they would have beat a fully healthy Cleveland. So I felt that was kind of like it was a sucker move. What validated him was the fact that after the Golden State Warriors left him out there pretty much for his career to die, they put him out there to die. He was down. They were down 3-1. If the Golden State Warriors were up 3-1, would they have had Kevin Durant up in there? No, they wouldn't.
No, they wouldn't.
But since they were down 3-1, they put him up in there. They didn't worry about his health. They didn't worry about him as a human being. They completely humanized him, and they put him out there, and it cost him in the end. And I feel that he went off and validated himself by turning down $80 million to go off and, you know, say, you know what, middle finger to you guys. I don't really appreciate that, and I'm out of here. And I appreciate him for that. Now, as dilapidated and petrified goes to the New York Knicks. We were
yes,
just sitting here just we were just sitting here crapping on Miami just now. I remember John said, what about Miami? And pretty so many words, I said, what about Miami? Well, Miami's about to go off and score James Butler.
Right. And admittedly, they hadn't done that when I made that comment, so.
Man, and it came, it's like, it was like synchronistic how it came up. Like, we were just crapping on Miami. What about them? Comparing them to Chicago, comparing them to Sacramento, and bam, Jimmy Butler's like, you know what? I'm not going to Houston. I might just go to Miami. So then that goes, that's a big clap in the face of Jim Doan, how you have the largest market in the nation at your disposal, and you whiffed on free agency, sir. You need to make some changes.
Well, get back to your point on Kevin Durant. I think if Kevin Durant didn't want to play, he wasn't going to play. I think KD is making much money with that thing to say, you know what, I don't want to. If I'm concerned about my health, I'm not going to play. I think Kevin Durant said, you know what, my team needs me. I'm going to try to gut this out. It backfired on him at the end, but I don't think that was Golden State. I think Kevin Durant has as much to blame in that situation as the Warriors. Yes, the Warriors did need him, and Kevin Durant says, you know what, my team needs me. I'm going to try to make this. That's my feeling on Kevin Durant, and that's neither here nor there. Daniel, you're up.
All right, guys. The best thing that I thought I saw within the past week actually happened like last weekend. Mm-hmm. There was a baseball series between the Los Angeles Angels and the St. Louis Cardinals. And of course, if you know the togetherness between the two is one Albert Pujols. Albert Pujols, of course, played with the St. Louis Cardinals from 2001 to 2011. And he's been with the Angels since. I think he was traded over. I think he signed a big deal with the Angels. I can't remember which one.
I think it was 2011.
It was.
$200 million.
Yes. So he actually shows up. And, I mean, you're talking about a fan base who loved him so much. It kind of warmed my heart to see a fan base do him the way that they did. He hit a home run in one of those games. And when he hit the home run, you would have thought that one of the St. Louis Cardinals players hit a home run. This was his first time back in that stadium in almost 10 years, since 2011. So he hadn't played there since. But they treated him with so much admiration and so much respect, and he was so emotional over it. And it was just a great way to send him out. Let me tell you guys something. For all you fans out here who have no idea who Albert Pujols is, he's
blame
one of the great
Angels.
Guys. Yeah, exactly. He's one of the great guys. He's one of the great guys in Major League Baseball. And we're just not talking about his stats. He's a lifetime 301 hitter. He had 3,140 hits, 646 home runs. He's a 10-time All-Star, 2-time World Series champion. He won both of those with the Cardinals. He won the National League MVP award 3 times. So that's just not the guy he is. But the one thing about Mr. Pujols is that he came up in the middle of the whole steroid scandal thing. He did. And his name has came up a few times, but you can't really find nothing on this guy. I mean, this guy was a phenomenal – not only was he a phenomenal player, still is a phenomenal player, but he's an all-around great guy. And I salute Albert Pujols, and I salute the rest – and I salute the St. Louis Cardinals fan base for treating him – like they did. They loved him so much, man. I've never seen anybody have that much admiration for a former player there. So kudos to the fans, because the fans have been getting rowdy lately. Mm-hmm. But kudos to them. Kudos to the St. Louis fan base. Kudos to Albert Pujols. I believe this is his final year. So, you know, big shout out to him.
Boy, will that leave a void in terms of the game's ambassadors for Albert Pujols. And, you know,
he's really such
a great player, and it's just a shame that we haven't seen much of him in the postseason, simply because even though the Angels are in the second biggest market, they really haven't played like it. They have not been a postseason factor at all.
And they should be.
Yeah, they got Pujols, they got Mike Trout. I got a feeling that Mike Trout's going to have to go somewhere else if he wants to be a factor, be in that legacy conversation. But that is a conversation for another time. That's going to wrap us up here on the last three guys to do a podcast. One quick note before we go. Congratulations, Vanderbilt Commodores. You are the College World Series baseball champions.
Yes, they are.
For 2019. Second time in 5 years. You knew I was going to sneak that in sometime before we wrapped it up. So congratulations to Vanderbilt bringing that trophy back to West End. So the last NCAA team to win a game until college football starts up will be Vanderbilt. That's something you can take to the bank, and that's something the 13 other SEC teams cannot. So that will wrap us up here on the last three guys to do a podcast. Leon Brown, Daniel Bolton, and I am John Morgo. We are going to have an exclusive interview with another legend in the Atlanta media circles. Hopefully that'll be coming out to you next week. I don't want to drop any names, but you're going to want to hear this, want to listen to it at all as we get down and dirty with one of the best and biggest broadcasting names in Atlanta agreeing to join us. And it's just a matter of nailing down the interview times. It might be taped and we'll just have to shove it in. I'm not really sure, but you're going to want to catch all of that coming up on the last three guys to do a podcast. So guys, Daniel Bolton and Leon Brown.
Yep.
We'll be all with you next week. Thanks so much for joining us. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell whomever you like. Tell anyone about the last three guys to do a podcast here on SoundCloud and hopefully on other stations coming up where you can get your own podcast. I'm John Morgo.
And somebody talk to the Knicks. Somebody please talk to the damn Knicks. Please.
Well, we like laughing about them, so as long as they're a punchline, we don't care. All right, that'll wrap us up. We'll see you next week. Have a good night, everybody.